He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Thank God it's
In Noam Layden's words, heavy-duty fog. It's obscuring the Empire State Building, at least from the 86th floor up. There's a deep fog over Wall Street. The market is opening 250 points down. Just what I need. So I'm going to throw out a lot of things now because it's Friday. And you jump in at 866 Geraldo, wherever you feel the urge. I want to start silly. I was on Fox and Friends this morning. They asked me about that college that's requiring sensitivity training because someone thought to serve Mexican food during their intergalactic night on the possibility of alien life in outer space. Get it? Mexican food, aliens. Now, personally, I loathe the term illegal alien. I think it should be abolished from polite conversation. Smart people should not use that phrase when referencing undocumented immigrants. It should be avoided. If you've got half a brain, don't use it anymore. It's like a million other words that used to be okay, or phrases that used to be, you know, commonplace. Now they have no place. For exactly this reason, an undocumented immigrant didn't come from Jupiter or Saturn, aliens, alien life. Still, I mean, these kids at the college, they didn't have any malicious intent. It was an unintentional double entendre, I think. But it's like the theater groups that wear blackface in homage to the old burlesque Negro theater. I mean, it is possible to hurt people's feelings unintentionally. This sensitivity training requirement seems a politically correct overreaction to a silly incident. But still, the moral of the story should be banning this whole expression, illegal alien. No place in American life anymore in the context of undocumented immigrants anyway. But anyway, loosen up, colleges. I made a fart joke when I talked about
it. I saw that, yeah.
I didn't seem
to be very offended.
I don't think it went over.
It did not,
well.
No. What's her name? What's the woman's name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth seemed to be really
offended. She's wonderful. She just like held her nose. Much more seriously, and 866 or although I see the phone's already ringing, that's fine, but I got to get through my rap first. Much more seriously, on the battle for the Iraqi city of Ramadi, it's a place that still haunts me. Having seen literally truckloads of dead bodies during the fighting before and during the surge there in Ramadi, a city in the so-called Sunni Triangle, about 70 miles, just 70 miles west of Baghdad, the capital, where we have, thousands of U.S. GIs and other American personnel. Ramadi is like, remember Kobani, that city in northern Syria on the Turkish border? Kobani, the Kurds, our friends the Kurds were holding Kobani, and ISIS had surrounded Kobani. And right here on this program, before this microphone, I said, remember Kobani. We can't let Kobani fall. When a battle takes on larger than life significance, like the Alamo, you can't lose that fight. We could not lose the Kobani fight because ISIS would have gained tremendous props. We saved Kobani. The Kurds hold Kobani, not ISIS, not our enemies. The same thing has to apply to the much more important city of Ramadi. We cannot let Ramadi fall to ISIS. And I thought General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who I really like and who is an experienced warrior and does a terrific job, I thought that he was a bit off the mark when he said, watch Ramadi, it's just bricks and mortar. in the larger battle. I think that it's much more than bricks and mortar. Ramadi is now symbolic of our resolve. I note that we have started an aerial campaign now that ISIS is in Ramadi. Not only do they have to be defeated in Ramadi, but we should cut them off. We should cut them off in that city, surround them, eliminate them. This is another great example where ISIS is out in the open and our air power must be applied massively to wipe out the enemy. Remember Ramadi. Yemen, on the other hand, is a mess. We should stay as far away from Yemen as we can. It's a situation that can only be resolved by negotiations. And I think they're going to end up with a de facto partition of that country that was cobbled together by colonialists anyway. We have no way to win in Yemen. Forget about it. I think our drones should stay active in Yemen, taking out Al-Qaeda senior leadership, as we did a couple of days ago, because Al-Qaeda threatens us with computer bombs on planes and all the rest of that. But Yemen, politically, you're going to have to let them sort out their own mess. All right, now, go light again. Britt McHenry, the ESPN correspondent, caught on tape berating that humble parking lot attendant. I mean, that lady, Britt McHenry, is justifiably embarrassed. Here we have the tape of Britt McHenry, the lovely ESPN correspondent, really letting this humble parking lot attendant have it. Here is Britt.
I'm in the news, sweetheart.
That's fine.
I will fucking sue this place.
Okay, that's fine, and I'll play your video, so careful. I'll play the video.
That's why I have a degree with no skill set. Do you feel good about your job? So I could be a college dropout and do the same thing? Maybe if I was missing some teeth, they would hire me, huh? Oh, like yours? They look so stunning. Because I'm on television, and you're in a trailer, honey. Lose some weight, baby girl.
Lose some weight, baby girl.
Oh, man.
Ranking out her teeth. I mean, Britt McHenry now has to live that down. And ESPN, I note, has suspended her for a week. You know, I'm a firm believer in second chances, having been granted several of them in my life. My second chance, my third chance, my fourth chance. Anyone married as often as I am, you get second chances. I think Britt McHenry maybe should embrace the mean girl persona. I think it could serve her well. She should change her whole approach. She should be abrasive, clever, larger than life, a Joan Rivers fashion police type sports commentator. What do you think of that
idea?
I think
that's a good idea, actually.
All right, now I'm going to get to your calls. I promise you. I want you to and jump in wherever. I have to finish my menu here for the day. Chewbacca, Africa. The Crittenden County, that's West Memphis, Tennessee. Is it Tennessee or is it Arkansas? West Memphis, where he is. Maybe Arkansas. I'm not sure. But it's West Memphis. He's the NAACP chief there. You've seen him on TV today or last night. You certainly will see if you watch today. Chewbacca, Africa. He's the local NAACP chief. And today, or yesterday is the tape, he was comparing cops to criminals and terrorists and calling on black families to arm themselves, not against crooks and bad people, but against law enforcement. Arm themselves. Arm themselves. Here is Chewbacca, Africa, the local NAACP chief in West Memphis.
And law enforcement has to understand you cannot do what you please when you see us.
A police officer, a law enforcement officer that approaches people outside of normal police procedure is a criminal. He's a terrorist.
And he goes on to say they should arm themselves. I mean, how helpful is that? I mean, this person should be absolutely disciplined by the National NAACP organization. He is an inch away from inciting to riot. an inch away from inciting to riot. Now, having said that, remember my solution to the undeniable perception, going back to what made him say that crazy stuff. Go back, though, to the undeniable perception among too many black families in this country that cops are targeting unarmed black men. That's why we come back to the Geraldo's Law. There should be a presumption of federal jurisdiction in each and every police killing or police beating, regardless of the circumstances of the race of the participants. If it turns out to be a standard law and order situation, stick up at the 7-Eleven bank robbery, feds quickly walk away. If it's deeper than that, if it's worse than that, then the feds have a righteous role in probing whether the dead or injured suspect was treated constitutionally and legally. And before I go to the first break, remember that the federal probes in both Ferguson, Missouri, and Staten Island with Eric Garner found no reason to file civil rights charges against the officers responsible for the deaths of the detainees. But a federal probe goes a long way to defusing this tension. And if you make a presumption of federal jurisdiction in each and every police killing, you're gonna take the wind out of the sails of nut jobs like Shabaka Africa. 866 Geraldo. Thank God it is Friday.
Live, local, on it, 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
We're asking that black people around the country arm themselves and join in an established gun club.
Blacks around the country should arm themselves, says Shabaka Africa, the NAACP chief in West Memphis. Black families should arm themselves against law enforcement because law enforcement is dangerous and deadly. I think this guy is misguided. He must be disciplined by the National NAACP organization. It's exactly the wrong thing. All right, now your calls. I'm going to take your calls. Jump in wherever you want. Here's Vinny. Going to start with you. Vinny, what's up? What's on your mind?
Good morning, Geraldo. I agree with you. We should stop using the term illegal immigrant. The correct term is invader. If I break into your home uninvited, are you going to call me an undocumented guest? Let's get off this. These people have invaded our country. They're criminals.
And when you see one of them doing work that you would never do, and you're looking at this hard-working, law-abiding father of citizen children, that's what you see, Vinny? You see an invader?
Geraldo, and as soon as I get off this phone, I'm on my way to Morristown. I'm 74 years old. I'm going up on the roof to rebuild the chimney and fix some
good
shingles.
For you. Good
Don't
for you.
Don't tell me Americans won't do the work, Geraldo. Do not tell me that. I am aggravated. I do this every single day. I did this.
God bless you. God bless you. Why do you begrudge the other guy working on the other roof?
I don't. He comes here legally. Like my grandparents, on both mine and my wife's side did, like every other immigrant, came here legally. That I encourage. This country was built on immigrants.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you had Ellis Island to come through. It never applied to the Mexicans and the Central Americans. They never had an Ellis Island.
We still have a process. You don't like this country. You were born in America.
I love this. I was born where? I was born on 17th Street.
You're an American.
That's right.
Why are you a Latino? You're an American.
You're right, Vinny. I am. And don't fall off the roof. I love you. Sammy in Pennsylvania, thanks for holding on. Sammy, what's on your mind?
Hey, listen, those Iranians shouldn't be allowed to have a firecracker. The Israelis got the right idea to bomb them. Now that we said, another thing is Iraq should be divided up along.
We should bomb Iran. Wait, Sammy. You can't bomb one country and move on that quickly. You want to bomb Iran?
Yes.
And why do you want
to
bomb?
They shouldn't be allowed to have a firecracker. Did you hear me?
I heard you. Should not be allowed to have a firecracker. I got you, Sammy. That's your. That'll fly. What else? Hello? Any other good ideas?
I got another point for you.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
We had Eric Frame terrorize northern Pennsylvania, after he killed one policeman and wounded another one.
Right.
I don't understand why that trial of his that's going to take place, hopefully, in the very near future, why that can't be on television.
I don't know. Have they decided no cameras in that courtroom?
No.
If I don't know, I don't know for a fact whether, thanks for the call, Sammy. I don't know for a fact whether they have decided to allow cameras in that court or not. I am a firm believer in cameras in the court, but it has to be with the agreement of the defense counsel. They've got the guys, I think judges have considerable discretion, but it's better when people agree. I don't think it should be forced cameras in the courtroom. I think they're a good idea. I like when you see how cases are argued and the job the lawyer does and the evidence both presented and excluded. I think it makes people smarter. And if I were the judge, I would allow cameras in that courthouse and in others. In Middletown, my old stomping grounds, here's Peter. What's up, Peter?
Yes, I met you a couple of times. You came into our establishment. But I just wanted to say,
give yourself a free plug.
No, that's okay. Thank you. I just wanted to say, have you been watching what's going on in Mexico right now with the Central Americans, the Hondurans, the Guatemalans?
Mexico is, what aspect of Mexico? Mexico is a mess in some areas and is doing okay in others.
The way they treat the people that are coming through, they're beating them up, they steal their shoes, they send them back. They get no job there.
Well, I think Mexico bears a responsibility for allowing Central Americans to transit their country, to enter our country without proper documentation. I think Mexico has a responsibility, has been, shucking its responsibility. They should embrace it. Of course, I deplore the violation of anyone's civil rights.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Sam Cooke.
Oh, yes, it will.
It's fascinating that Crash selected that song to start this segment because I just got the email from Fox News, the talking points for my appearance with Bill O'Reilly tonight on Fox News. O'Reilly is being roundly criticized. I'm going to get back to your calls momentarily, and I really appreciate how engaged you are as an audience. You're the best, smartest audience in radio land. So O'Reilly said, I wish I had him saying it in his own words, but I'll just quote him. Our traditional American values are under siege nearly everywhere. If you're a Christian or a white man in the USA, it's open season on you. Therefore, Hillary Clinton has an advantage. She can run a general campaign, first woman in the White House, and I'm going to help you by increasing the entitlement society. It will take a very articulate and tough-minded Republican to defeat her. I certainly agree with O'Reilly on that last point. He goes on to say the demographics are changing. It's not a traditional America anymore. And there are 50% of the voting public who want stuff. They want things. And who's going to give them things? President Obama. He knows it and he ran on it. And whereas 20 years ago, President Obama would have been roundly defeated by an establishment candidate like Mitt Romney, the white establishment is now the minority. So just thinking about that. Now he's going to ask me about it is a fact. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that demographically the nation is changing. I mean, look at the growth of the Latino population as just one example. You now have not only significant Latino segments of populations in many, many states in the Southwest, throughout the nation now you have significant Latino voting blocks. They will affect how things are perceived. You have many more women voting than ever. The nation is in flux, and how we deal with it going forward will say a lot about America's role in not only internally, but in the world going forward. So just thinking out loud about what O'Reilly is asking about, you know, this changing America and whether or not Hillary Clinton will benefit. There is no doubt that there is in this country vast income disparities, inequalities. There are, you know, the perception of the haves and the have-nots, and that's becoming more and more egregious, more and more severe. There are, as Mitt Romney said in that off-camera moment that torpedoed his presidential campaign, 47% of the population who O'Reilly says want stuff. Romney said take stuff, you know, the people who are below the poverty line, etc. My point is, we have to deal with this changing reality, but I think we should harness it. We should take this change and make it part of the new vibrancy of America. Take this immigrant vigor. Take this changing face of America. Make it an example to the world. See, we have a system that can absorb these changes, incorporate them, make us stronger. We'll take these young, broad, brown, black, white, red, yellow backs that are coming into our country. We will harness that energy. It will help support our aging traditional population going forward. A kind of, I'm not talking about kumbaya, but I'm saying we're all in this together with practical solutions. Like what? Like a father's name on every birth certificate. That's a Geraldo's law. Like a federal probe automatic every time there's a police killer. You can do things that pragmatically help us deal with who we are today, who we were yesterday, and who will we be tomorrow. Rather than make it a scary, oh my God, look what's coming, this, woe is us, what's going to happen when the white men are no longer, baloney. Just look at that strength like of a major league team in any sport. Look, I want diversity, I want hybrid vigor. I want every smart person in the world to want to come here. I want every one of those brainiacs in South Asia to come here and invent Google again or the whatever the next generation Apple is. I want them to make Teslas and rockets that go in your living room when you want them to. But to be scared of it, that plays into Hillary Clinton's hands. That plays into the hands of the Democrats. When you make an artificial division between the old timers and the new timers, you play right to her. She's going to be the compassionate one, and the Republicans are going to be the ass. Blah, blah, blah. All right, that's my that's the beginning of my talking point. You got to watch tonight. Okay, from the Upper West Side, how you doing? What's up?
Hello. You know, I'm 82. I'm taking care of my wife. Here's the difference. In the 60s, something changed in America that had to do with more than just values. It had to do with character. And the emphasis was to give more and more and more people, it's nothing wrong with having a voice, but it's what was expected and what you did after you were given that voice. And the more was taken advantage of it, the more this country turned into a kind of a wishy-washy place where everybody had to be given a place regardless of their capabilities and their efforts that they could make. And this is a wonderful place to be. America is about that, and we've lost that. We've lost that. It's not just fairness. It's what fairness comprises. Fairness comprises an honest look, what's happening in political correctness and all. You know, if I could tell you some of the things we did, I would be in jail today. And not because it was so terrible.
You'd have plenty of company.
Okay?
So listen, I got a couple questions.
You're getting strong with the rock.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. First of all, how's your wife doing?
You know, I'm on now because she's still asleep, and I'm letting her lay in a little poop until she wakes up.
All right, so that's a little more information than I needed, but it is tough. It's tough. I know, brother. I know. My mom's 95. We're all going through the same.
At 82, I take the job.
All right. Well, you sound to me like an excellent person that I'm honored to speak with, and I appreciate
an amazing career and have amazing children.
God bless you. You know, I understand. Let's take the NAACP, and I'm a lifetime member of the I'm the only person on Fox, as far as I know, is a lifetime member of the NAACP, and also the NRA. That's a whole other thing. But the NAACP, take that great group, at some point they became the victim group. In other words, when you see the NAACP engaging, at least most publicly now, Al Sharpton too, and I've known him forever. It's generally because somebody did something to somebody, or there's an allegation that somebody did something to somebody, and woe is us. We've been victimized yet again, and we're going to defend ourselves against this victimization, whether it's police brutality, whatever the issue is, income, whatever it is. What we need, and what I wanted President Obama to be, and what he can still be, is the guy that says, come on, let's compete. Come on, we can pull our pants up. We can fight. We can righteous. Let's start a business. Come on, gang, let's make a show. I need people to be optimistic rather than pessimistic. You need people to be energized. You need people to forcefully say, I want tomorrow to be better than today. The woe is me click, I have no patience for them. Everybody is a victim. Oh, look at me. Oh, look at me. I go, oh, what a life. I gavolt. It's BS. You're never going to get anywhere. You're going to just live a life of resentment and envy. And it'll get you and your loved ones no place. And you kick your kids in the butt. Come on. I know you're only 26, but don't you think it's time that you started having a positive cash flow in your life? I want a combination of me and O'Reilly. I want O'Reilly to extol the virtue of all those traditional values. And I want to prod you, I want to prod the old timers, the establishment, for the, you know, the excesses and discrimination that they undeniably we did and do. But on the other hand, this whole woe is me, 47%, I'm entitled to this and that, that's no place. And unless a Republican articulates what I'm telling you right now, and all you know, in comparison to those that are saying Hillary Clinton is this and that, and they just want stuff from us and they're different than us, you're going to lose. We're going to lose the White House again 3 times in a row. You have to be positive, optimistic, have specific ideas on how to make things better. Re-harness that American energy. Stop downgrading the country. Stop woe is me-ing the country. Look at all the great things. Compare us to the rest of the world. Compare America to the rest of the world. Why do you think everybody wants to be in America? That's the attitude we have here on this show, and that's the attitude I want them to have in the White House, and that's the attitude I want these candidates to have. I just read it here, Rick Santorum, saying he would not attend his best friend's gay wedding. Come on. What's that? You're not going to... Why? You oppose it? No, give me a break. You're not marrying the gay guy. Your friend is. Have some respect.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
5 minutes to high noon. Let me go quickly. Tamika Mallory has been not only is she a participant in the big moving demonstration against police violence and for, everyone's civil rights to be respected, but she's also... kind of giving us our as a correspondent almost, a blow by blow on how many people are demonstrating, where they are as they make their way to Washington, D.C. Tamika, welcome back. Where are you now?
Well, we are just out of Pennsylvania, have crossed into Baltimore, actually, and walking on U.S. 1. We stayed at Lincoln University last evening. Some of the students have joined for the march, as well as other folks who have signed up to march with us for the weekend. So our numbers are growing, and people are steadily joining the March to Justice.
Okay, now what exactly do you want to accomplish? And you got 30 seconds to tell me.
We want to have police accountability and criminal justice reform in America.
Police response. And do you like my idea of a mandatory federal probe every time there's a police killing?
I do. I think anything that is going to give us the ability to have an open book process to be able to see the facts for when police kill people in this country.
Would that alleviate some of the anxiety you feel? Will that mitigate some of the anger?
Yeah, I think it would help, certainly.
I heard you described as the next generation Reverend Sharpton. Do you think that's a compliment, or do you worry that he's too, he's too tarnished?
Well, clearly, Reverend Sharpton has trained me and raised me. 14 years of my life, I worked with him. So anytime I'm compared to him, it's a compliment to me, but I definitely have my own style, and he would want me to have
it. How old are you now?
I'm 34.
You have not lost your idealism. I hope you never do. And you've done a great job reporting on the march, and I appreciate your participation.
Thank you so much, Geraldo.
Okay, Tamekis, tell everybody, don't block traffic. Don't piss off the good, hardworking people.
We're definitely blocking traffic in your name today.
Okay.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Get up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
I love Jamaica, man. I love Jamaica. My brothers-in-law, when I was married to Edie Vonnegut, used to live there in Jamaica. So he couldn't be whiter. These white guys living up in the hills just above the grill in Western Jamaica. And obviously ganja was like, that was the whole culture. I mean, Bob Marley is celebrated, but that whole yeah man kind of lifestyle. I remember visiting them in the little town of Adelphi in the Jamaican Highlands above the grill, and they served me this goat's head stew. I mean, maybe someone listening now knows. It's some of our friends from the West Indies. And it's literally the head of the goat. I mean, they take the top of the skull off, and then they take all the gook, and they make a... And it is, I mean, they served hot, but it's seeped in the ganja. So
did you know that ahead of time?
I don't know what I knew. I wouldn't say now, although the statute of limitations has sold.
Yeah, right.
But I remember there was this kind of a hallucinogenic effect that lasted for the rest of the vacation. But it was such a pleasant... But what is interesting, and this is one of the reasons I'm for marijuana reform and the end of prohibition, look at the enterprise. We were talking earlier about immigration and undocumented immigrants and all the rest of it. The Caribbean folk generally, you know, the same black Caribbean folk that come here, they are so similar, are they not, to like the Armenian people, the Jews, they have a sense of enterprise. They buy like a bottle of water, they sell it on the corner, they take the profit and they buy two bottles of water, then they buy four bottles of water, then they have a water company. Or you go through Brooklyn, or the West Indian, they know how to party.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but they are in business.
Well, you know, the joke always is, remember in Living Color all those years ago, there was a skit where they had like 9 jobs, right?
How many jobs you got? I'm the pilot, man. I'm the stewardess, man. Hey, let me clean those glasses for you, man. There is hybrid vigor. There is an ability to harness. I'm telling you, Hillary Clinton will be the next president if the GOP doesn't understand that negativity. And I understand how angry everybody wants to talk to me, and I'm going to get to this call. Everybody wants to talk to me about all these undocumented, and the world is and this guy's screwing up, and Obama is a socialist, and he wants to take rape my daughter and take my college fund. And that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. I, before I get to your calls, I just want specifically to go back to my point, the newest Geraldo's Law, a mandatory federal probe for each and every police killing, regardless of circumstance. I don't care if the cop was white, black, blue. I don't care if the victim was red, yellow, blue, green, orange. Mandatory federal probe. Remember Rodney King. Rodney King. Everybody remembers the rioting in Rodney King. They remember that over 50 people were killed in the Los Angeles riots. I covered them. Horrible what happened in the Los Angeles riots as people responded to that video of the police beating. More specifically, they responded to the acquittal of the officers, the white officers who had beaten Rodney King so savagely on the side of the freeway there. Remember, they moved that trial from L.A. to Simi Valley. It was almost, I think it was an all-white jury that acquitted the officers involved in the beating of Rodney King. What people forget, though, is those officers were later indicted and tried in federal court, and two of the four of them were convicted for violating Rodney King's civil rights. So, history would have been entirely different if the federal trial had happened first. You get my drift? If they had tried the officers for the civil rights violation in federal court and two of the four had been convicted, there would never have been a Rodney King riot in Los Angeles. Now, I'm not even saying that the jurors in the state case that acquitted the cops were wrong, because the video in Rodney King, there was more to that story than was shown on television, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about that. I don't care about that aspect of whether the jury was right, that it was not beyond a reasonable doubt what the officers did, et cetera, et cetera. What I am saying is the feds came in. The feds saw that there was a civil rights violation. Under the Geraldo scheme, they would be the lead agency and the federal probe would take priority. It would come first. The state can later, there's nothing that says the federal preempts the state. The state has the right to bring a criminal action under the Constitution. The states have crime and punishment, law and order. That's a state. But the Fed has civil rights, federal civil rights. Make that automatic. And I'm telling you, this whole thing goes away. This whole thing goes away. Tamika's marches and the NAACP here, arm yourself. It all goes away. Remember Ferguson, Missouri. Eric Holder making a visit to Ferguson. I'm pressing the Attorney General of the United States goes to, I was afraid he was going to distort the process. He sent his entire corps of assistant U.S. attorneys to investigate Ferguson, Missouri. Guess what? No civil rights violation of Michael Brown. The officer did not violate the civil rights of the unarmed black man who tragically was killed. Ferguson muted. Now, you got some professional troublemakers there who are never will be resolved, no matter what. But that went a long way. You could track the news stories. Accelerating, getting worse and worse and worse, getting deeper and deeper into the violence and National Guard. And they got a big memo out now that said the National Guard perceived the rioters as the enemy, et cetera, et cetera. I consider the rioters my enemy, too, if they're throwing fiery crap at me. You take the feds in there first, though. If the feds had been there the day after, or later that same day, you got a U.S. attorney right in St. Louis. You know, a 15-minute ride away. Send him in there right now. The feds are in charge. Don't you worry. Don't you worry about Officer Krumke. He'll get his shot. Right now, it's U.S. Attorney Jones, federal authority. Let's see what happened here. Okay, officer, you calm down. Okay, victim's family, you calm down. Now, the United States of America is checking this out. And don't you worry about race or this and that and the other thing. I'm telling you, this is the way it has to be done. This is the new approach. I have no beef with either Donovan in Staten Island or Thompson in Brooklyn investigating these police killings, but I want the feds to be first. I want the feds to tell me whether or not there was a civil rights violation. in a Kai Gurley, Eric Garner, Michael Brown, you name them. All right, your turn, Rich in Newtown. What's up, man?
You know, I love listening to you. You know, you really are. You're like the megaphone of emotion, how our country is transformed from being reasonable to emotion of these subjects.
Thank you.
You have your little doses of the truth, like when you were putting together the differences between how these Republicans think they're going to win when they're campaigning against the emotion of the Democrats. And you're absolutely right. That's just where our country is. You're not a dumbhead. You know that marijuana is a gateway drug. You know that it's the killings that are going on the Mexican border are all based on drugs because we're buying it. But you put it all together for us, and I don't know anybody else on the island that's doing that.
Brother, let's have some fun tonight. I agree, Rich. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. But I'm telling you, it's all about positivity. Is that a word? Positivity?
Sure.
All right. It's about optimism. It's about tomorrow. How did the Clintons win the last time? Crash, find that Fleetwood Mac song, that lame Fleetwood Mac song they always played. Let's start talking about tomorrow.
Right.
I was flashing back to the Goat's Head Stew in Jamaica.
You bet you were.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
When the sky is a bright canary yellow, I forget every cloud I've ever seen. So they call me a cockeyed optimist, immature and incurably green. I have heard people rant and rave.
I think it's from My Fair Lady, Johnny Mathis. Not that he was in My Fair Lady, but singing. Cockeyed optimist. Am I a cockeyed optimist today?
I think you are. In all honesty, yeah.
You don't think that these intractable problems can be defeated with optimism?
I think some of them can.
Pragmatic solutions. Well, you start. Like my whole thing about entitlements. I'm going to get to your calls momentarily. Oh, and guess what? Ivanka Trump. Talk about positive, energy. What that young lady has done in creating. I mean, she's the Trump, but she's taken that brand and she's taken it to a whole different place with the shoes and the fashions, and she's a self-made woman in many ways. I mean, I really am very impressed. But what I was saying is like family entitlements. That's something that irks working people more than almost anything. Someone stays home and they get, I forget what the equivalent to aid to dependent children is now, but you stay home. In other words, when the dad leaves, then the woman gets money and she gets money to support the kids. And rather than that approach to life, the Geraldo approach is pay the guy to stay home.
Right.
That's where you pay the kid to go to school. Pay the kid to get A's. Use the entitlement money to reward positive social behavior. Make it every social program when having to do with the family should be designed to keep the family together. That's the best way to avoid these problems that you see. Why are there so many unarmed minority kids getting shot by cops? Too many unarmed minority kids are perpetrating crimes. I mean, that's a fact. I don't care who you are. No one can deny that. Just look at the statistics. But if you start being practical, like Bloomberg, I think that Bloomberg really, he would have been a great president. I mean, he's not the greatest personality, but he's a practical guy. He's not an angry guy. He's someone who says, you do this and that helps others, then I'm going to do something for you.
You know, he funded the programs very similar to what you're talking about. He would pay families in the city. It was out of his own money. It was a private fund to go to the doctor, to take care of their kids, to make sure they're inoculated, dental appointments. And if they did all that, they got monetary rewards.
I love that idea. Take your kid to get vaccinated, $20. You know, I have friends who are doctors now. And, there are all kinds of doctors. I'm talking financially now. There's all kinds of doctors are, let's assume there's a level of professional care. I'm not talking about substantively. I'm talking about doctors in terms of their approach and their professionalism. The federal government sends them checks that are unsolicited. If they're good doctors and they, for instance, emphasize preventive medicine rather than procedure after procedure after procedure, but keep someone healthy with the prostate exams and colon cancer exams and, you know, blood pressure and all that other kind of stuff. Doctors that emphasize preventive medicine, they get checks, unsolicited checks. They come in the mail. They, whoa, look at this. That's what I like. I like pragmatic, positive approaches to life. It's so easy with a radio show or a TV, whatever it is, to be a nyan, and those immigrants, look at that, got them, and they're stealing this, and they're taking that. That's not going to fix it. They're not going to self-deport, Mitt. They're not going to volunteer to get on the bus and go back to hell on earth. But here, you want another practical solution for immigration? Punish the countries that allow immigrants like Mexico. Mexico has known for years that immigrants have been transiting from Central America, and they have let them go with impunity as long as they don't rob from Mexicans or do stuff in Mexico. Let them take the train right to the Juarez border and then wait for nightfall. Mexico should be financially penalized for that. We should use levers that we have to encourage positive behavior. See, I just think that the biggest problem right now is this divided government we have, where there's this hatred. You have the old guard, the GOP, mostly the old white guys, and they're so concerned about, you know, all these women coming up and all these minorities, and so, and their old way of life, their traditional values being eroded and all that. Live and let live, brother. You can go to church. You can have your old style, new style, any style, as long as your style doesn't affect my style. But if my style offends you, so, you know, dude, you over there, me over here, live and let live. Tall fences make good neighbors. What's on your mind is Ronnie in New Jersey. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, Geraldo, how are you?
Thanks for calling.
Geraldo, I listen to you every day and I love you.
Thank
you. I really do.
Thank you.
But I got to give you an opinion and two things I'd like you to respond to.
Go ahead.
Number one, my opinion of you is that I think at times, Geraldo, you live in a world with rose-colored glasses.
I do literally have rose-colored glasses.
You really do, Geraldo, and I love you. But the whole thing is it'll never be the way you want it to be. And the reason it'll never be the way you would like to see it happen is because we're all human. And every single one of us have faults. Now, as far as the thing with Rodney King, I would like you to respond to both of these things, immigration and Rodney King. Number one, Rodney King, you said blah, blah, blah to the whole situation of what occurred with Rodney King. That's where the problem lied. All we ever saw were 36 seconds of the video. Nobody saw the entire thing. Poetic justice would have only been if Rodney King would have continued to drive and ran into half of those rioters.
That's well, that's kind of cruel there. But I still believe that even with the unfairly edited video, Ronnie, if a federal officer or a federal U.S. attorney had said, "I'm in charge now, step aside, LAPD," you never would have had the right. I got to break. So, Ronnie, you can call me back with your second point. I don't have time for it right now. But coming up, Ivanka Trump and your questions. Thank God it is Friday. We made a great weekend coming.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
The Doobie Brothers, I tell you, my next guest is running. She's running. Not only running in the half marathon on Sunday to benefit St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, she runs her own business. She works in her father's real estate business. She's really one of the most impressive young ladies that I have met in recent years. And it was a delight during the whole Celebrity Apprentice experience to see her up close and personal with her husband, her children, and her dad, the famous Donald Trump. I welcome Ivanka Trump to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Geraldo. We miss you.
You know, I can't believe how energetic you are. I don't know where you get it from. I know where you get it from, I guess. But
coming from you, that's a particularly large compliment.
But, you know, you could have taken it easy. You could have just skated. You could have, Daddy, take care of me. How come you didn't?
Well, I think you know my father and my mother well enough to know that taking it easy I don't think would have been an option if I wanted them to support my lifestyle growing up. So, I think, I think that both my brothers and I always talk about it, and it's easy to feel motivated when you find what you love doing. And we all feel very blessed that, you know, we were able to find that, and we were able to find that within the family business. And
you know, but you're so elegant in it. It seems so effortless. Now, I've seen you with your children. You're a hands-on mom, and you've got some responsibility in the real estate company, plus your own line is constantly evolving, it thinks. It seems you have shoes this day and jewelry and, you know, where's your passion now?
You know, I love to just sort of nurture my entrepreneurial outlook generally. So obviously, you know, my passion, my earliest passion was always real estate, and that continues, and that's my primary focus. But it's been amazing over the last several years to see my own line of apparel and accessories grow into such a large business with so much potential. So I'm very focused on that and really creating amazing product for this next generation of young working women that are as accessibly priced, yet very chic, polished, and feminine. So it's been a lot of fun. Obviously, though, my major role is wife and mom. So that's where, that's at the end of the day what ultimately matters most.
So it
looks easy. It's not. It's
you, but you make
chaos.
It. I mean, you never let them see you sweat. That's the rule.
That's
so do
right.
You feel, conflicted in this political season? You have Hillary running, she is if elected, would be the first female. I have a lot of pressure in my family. Although I'm a Republican, I have a lot of pressure. Oh my goodness. My wife and my daughters all say she's the example. Look, here's a woman who could have been trampled by, you know, some of the things that happened with her husband. Instead, she found her own way and became senator and secretary of state, et cetera. Do you feel conflicted? Do you celebrate her candidacy? How do you balance in terms of partisan politics in your family?
Well, you know, obviously, politics and a sense of sort of civic duty are core to our family. A lot of things will be determined for me based on what my father's decision ultimately is in terms of whether he runs. One thing I can tell you for sure is that he would be absolutely amazing. And I think having dealt with him in such a personal and obviously professional capacity, I'm sure you would probably agree with
that. Oh, we extol the virtue of this man has recreated all of the West Side. So, he's done so much. His signature buildings everywhere.
It's more complicated, right?
It's amazing how what he does and what he's accomplished. I mean, the Wallman skating rink, the golf course at Ferry Point, the other things here in the city have been unbelievable.
I was joking. We have a massive project under construction in Washington, D.C., right on Pennsylvania Avenue.
That's the old post office?
Old post office, yes. And we're converting it into a super luxury hotel. It's a couple of blocks from the White House. And I was joking with my husband the other day that it may be the only project in Washington that will ever come in on time and under budget.
Really? What a concept.
So he definitely knows how to build, and he would be a great leader. So, you know, he would undoubtedly get my vote if it was ever a question.
Well, I think that he is very, very underrated in substantive terms. How do you react when people make fun of him?
Well, you know, I think my father has a very self-deprecating humor, so he doesn't take himself too seriously. He laughs with everyone else, and the criticisms tend to be sort of on a very superficial level.
They really are. I mean, Seth Meyers wasn't. I was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Seth Meyers was the host, and he made fun of your father in a way that was just vicious, and it wasn't very funny at all. And your dad reacted. As he always does, and he's taught me that, never let those insults go unresponded to. But it must bother you, though, because he is so substantively accomplished, and he's done such a great job in so many different areas.
The cheap shots bother me. And I think the bias of the media. I mean, I've seen him speak, and there's no one who gets more praise, who generates more excitement and electricity in a room, who has more people watching when he's speaking and addressing an audience. And, you know, they're less inclined to cover it and to cover that fact truthfully. But, you know, I think to him it doesn't matter. It's about, you know, connecting with actual people. And the amazing thing is people who actually know him never speak ill of him. He's incredibly loyal. His friends are incredibly loyal to him. So it tends to be people who don't know him and who levy very superficial and oftentimes just wrong.
You know, he was so... When I lost to Lisa Gibbons, my 9-year-old started crying. Your dad, I swear to God, he let her sit in his big boss chair. She settled down and just turned that whole, you know, her whole emotional upheaval into something very positive. Her memory is not about, you know, losing or crying. It's about, oh, I met Donald Trump and he was so nice and he didn't fire me. Yeah. It was really, and he's a pretty good grandpappy too, isn't he?
And that's, you know, why people that know him or have interacted with him love him. He's a legitimately great person. And he has a tremendous amount of empathy. I mean, I see it every day. And, you know, I'm always telling my husband and I'm always telling my kids, I come home and there's not one day that goes by that he's not doing something for somebody else. Not to get something, you know, people who can't give anything back to him, but just trying to help people. He doesn't put that out there. Because he does it for personal reasons and just because that's the kind of person he is.
He's a real dude. I enjoy you, Dad, and I enjoy hanging out with him. Why are you running in this marathon?
So I got looped into this and roped into this by my team, actually. They were celebrating the launch of our website, IvankaTrump.com, and having a few margaritas and discussed running in a half marathon. Suddenly it was a fully baked idea and somehow I was included in the sign up process. So I went from having run around 2 miles ever in my life, and that would have been a great accomplishment, to having been committed to, you know, a 14-mile race. But it's been amazing. The process has been amazing. We've been training together as a team. We have this unbelievable former Olympian who's been sharing with us tips, and he created a running program for us that we've uploaded onto our site, and we have a lot of our social media followers that are training right alongside us. So it will be great. It's something that we're going to do as a collective. Every single woman in our office is running with us, which is amazing. So the fact that we're all doing it as a group and all doing it as a team.
See, that's where you and I differ. Ivanka Trump is my guest. When I was late at night drinking too many margaritas, I took a selfie. You've decided to run in a race this Sunday in Central Park. It's fabulous. I really admire you. I do. I think that you're what the country needs. Optimistic, creative, energetic. I want us to get out of this funk we're in. And I think your dad could go a long way. I just wish he would stop teasing and do this though. I'd love it. I think he'd be a terrific president.
I couldn't agree more. And I'll just mention also that our whole team is running to raise money for my brother's foundation, the Eric Trump Foundation, which raises money for terminally ill children and for St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
That's fabulous. And IvankaTrump.com is the new website.
Yes. Thank you so much, Geraldo. This is so, so nice. And come visit us. We miss you in Trump Tower.
Ivanka Trump.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
The Dow is still in the toilet, down 253 as I speak. I don't know what the hell is affecting it. Why it goes up yesterday, goes down today, I have no idea.
Well, there was this new report on inflation, so maybe that's having some effect.
Inflation is up or down?
Up, because gas prices inched up just a little bit in March.
But I thought they were complaining that gas prices were too low.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand how it works either, but I'm just guessing what might be going on today.
I think Trump should run for president. I think that he would be an excellent alternative because he is a positive and creative entrepreneur, and he's worked for a living, unlike the vast majority of these people.
You know what I think he does? Two things. Is he brings some sanity to the middle of the Republican Party there, because he can play both sides. He can play the conservative side. And I think probably socially, he's probably liberal. That'd be a guess. I don't know that for a fact. But what I think also is there's no downside for him running. You know, if he runs, he gets his name out there. I mean, that's not a bad thing. He has his brand out there, which is a great thing. I mean, anytime he can be out there selling his brand in that NBC show, that's okay. And I think he gets his also gets his viewpoints as part of the process, his thought process.
One quick point I want to make. First of all, they caught the king of clubs, a guy who was Saddam Hussein's right-hand man. They killed him in Iraq, so that's the good news out of Iraq. My second point I want to make, totally unrelated, when I was talking about being positive and being enterprising and being, you know, someone who compromises when necessary and works with the other side, there's an example right now of exactly the opposite of everything that I am preaching. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, refusing to allow senators to vote on Loretta Lynch's nomination to be Attorney General is exactly the Neanderthal, regressive, reactionary, negative, counterproductive activity that the GOP will continue to do at its peril. If refusing to allow a vote, remember, I'm not saying you vote for her or against her. That's up to you. But refusing to allow the vote to be held, that's just like shutting down the government. It's just giving fuel to the Hillary Clinton camp that she could say, look at these Republicans. They won't even let the Senate, the elected Senate of the United States, vote on whether or not this woman is qualified to be the Attorney General of the United States. The fact that she's the first black woman ever nominated, that's another issue. But the fact is that they won't let them vote. Why? Because he doesn't like somebody else's stance on abortion or something overseas? This is preposterous. Have a great weekend, everybody. Tomorrow's going to be a wonderful day. Kiss your wife, your kids. Have fun.